which is a very which is something that is so well got it, which is so pertinent to the work that we do. Not as only is it pertinent to ourselves and health and well-being, but it actually supports and says hooray for autogenic training. Let's start, before we get on to Rossi, let's start with what this is all about. The interesting thing is about this thing about rhythms. So let's start with the circadian. We know the circadian to be the 24-hour clock, don't we? We do. So the circadian rhythms, these rhythms produce physical and mental and behavioral changes that follow the daily cycle of 24 hours. They respond primarily to light and darkness in the environment. Sleeping at night and being awake during the day exemplifies this light-related circadian rhythm. Regulation of the 24-hour cycle is from the hypothalamus. So we're back in the brain, obviously, and the secretions of the pineal gland, which is melatonin. And the circadian rhythms influence sleep-wake cycles, hormone release, eating habits, digestion, body temperature, and all metabolic activity. So there we are, that's the whole thing. So our 24-hour clock regulates all of those. And we do know to our cost when our 24-hour clock gets messed up that things just don't feel right. It's interesting, isn't it, as human beings, and to some extent, obviously, all animals and plants are in this 24-hour cycle. Think about sunflowers, how they behave. All of these things respond to light and dark, and it's the pineal gland. So if we go from circadian rhythms, which are the 24-hour clock, we have infradian rhythms. Now, infradian rhythms are more than a day longer than 24 hours, such as the cycles of the moon, the menstrual cycle, the weeks, the months, and the seasons. I have actually written in there, when I wrote this, the tide. And of course, the tide is not longer than 24. It's actually you get two tides in 24 hours. And in actual fact, as someone who lives on a tidal stretch of the Thames, I know that it's more than 24 hours a day because the time of the tide changes as we go on. So that is quite incorrect, and you can cross that out. It is not the tide. But so we've got the moon, the menstrual cycle, the weeks, the months, and the seasons. So that's, and if you can think of any others, the ultradian is rhythms that occur many times a day. So we've got physiological rhythms such as the pulse, the breath, eating, digestion are rapid ultradian rhythms. Perhaps you can think of other rhythms that we have that occur many times a day. Obviously, peeing, I think probably, pooing. I don't know. Sometimes people go more than a day. So the ultradian ones are regularly going on during the day. So we have these rhythms that are part of our existence. And this brings us to what we're going to talk about, which is the basic rest activity cycle, the 20-minute break. And these are examples of repeating cycles of 90 to 20 minutes activity and 20 minutes rest occurring throughout the day and night. And that takes us to what we're going to talk about, which is the ultradian healing response and the ultradian stress syndrome. So the ultradian healing response is something that's happening more than once a day, and the ultradian stress syndrome similarly. So, if we go on to examine better the basic rest activity cycle, the basic rest activity cycles are ultradian, where it's more than many times a day, that play out in 90 to 20-minute cycles throughout the day and during the sleep, characterized by differing levels of arousal and rest. Now, whoever you are, whatever you're doing, this is innate within us. It might not be exactly 90 minutes, 120 minutes, but these cycles of actual differing levels of arousing and rest are going on in us. And the background to this is interesting. And it seems that Nathaniel Kleitman, 1895 to 1999, was an American physiologist and considered to be the father of modern sleep. In his book, which he wrote, was called Sleep and Wakefulness. And if he lived to be, I worked out 195, 99, how long did he live to be? 104. He must have got plenty of sleep, mustn't he? He must have found the secret of sleep to live to lived to 104. Okay. And he studied the physiology of sleep to better understand the physiology of wakefulness. And he was one of the first to use the electroencephalogram, the EEG, to study sleep, running EEG recordings throughout the night, sometimes using as much as half a mile of paper. What he found was that there were cycles of rest alternating with cycles of activity. This is the basis of all of this. And it's in sleep, the activity was associated with the eyes darting wildly backward and forward, rapid eye movements known as REM sleep.
Absolutely.
These cycles were approximately 90 minutes rest and 20 minutes REM sleep when dreaming occurred. During wakefulness, these two states swap over to 90 minutes of activity and 20 minutes rest. So the cycles were 90 minutes rest and 20 minutes sleep. And during wakefulness, 90 minutes actually, that's really interesting. And actually, you can think that if you got dreaming, there's quite a lot of activity going on there, isn't there? The total REM sleep per night is about 2 hours, but not all in one session. I think that's a really very interesting thing that we have these cycles that continue during sleep, and they're replicated, replicated, changed round in wakefulness. And Kleitman postulated that instead of sleep being the opposite of wakefulness, that the two were a continuum of alternate phases of a cycle related to each other as a trough of a wave is related to its crest. Dreaming as the cortical activity during REM sleep is as inevitable in sleep as thinking is to wakefulness. That's really interesting. Dreaming as a cortical activity during REM sleep is a cortical activity, is inevitable in sleep as thinking is to wakefulness. His book on sleep and wakefulness was an early authority on new understanding of sleep and its application to health and ill health. Must actually have a look at that book. Has anybody known it? It'd be quite interesting to read it. So this is really interesting stuff, this rest activity. And then we get Ernest Rossi and the 20-minute break. And his words were reduce stress and maximize performance and emotional well-being using the new science of ultradian rhythms. So he was an American psychologist. Rossi was an American psychologist and hypnotherapist. He was apprenticed to Milton Erickson, a leading medical hypnotherapist. And Rossi wanted to find out the secret of Erickson's phenomenal success with patients. Over many years and hundreds of patients, Erickson had observed a feature of his sessions that when the patient reached the last 10 to 20 minutes of the session, they visibly changed their concentration, lapsed, and they sort of faded out mentally. Erickson calls these states everyday trance, periods of rest and acceptability and healing used this state to induce the hypnotic trance, which then allowed for better access to emotions, intuitions, and deepest thoughts. Rossi realized that these were natural windows to facilitate healing, as in the rhythms of the basic rest activity cycle. So I think that's pretty profound to actually, it's a bit like Schultz recognizing, with these the feedback that he had from the hypnotic state. And these are the basis of things that became a little bit more structured, so that people could actually use them themselves. Who's had experience of hypnosis?
No. Well, somebody had a go, and I was sure I wasn't under, and that was years and years and years ago before I found AT. So I can't really count myself as experienced in that.
Interesting you use the word under,
Under,
because that's
yes.
quite a word that
Quite
people
an
are
emotive word.
quite afraid of. Yes. Patricia, you did. Patricia, you said you did.
No, I didn't know.
Oh, I thought you
Oopsie.
put your hand up. No.
Maybe I come on. Yeah, I didn't mean
Okay, right, okay.
Bev.
Yeah, I put my hand up, Anne.
Yeah.
I think similar to Jane, I went for help with a behavior change that I was looking to do a number of years ago. And I found that I lacked enough trust to allow someone to hypnotize me. And actually, probably it's one of the reasons why AT works so well, because it's done by me for me, and I trust myself.
That was the key thing that Schultz found, wasn't it? Because he was hypnosis, and of course hypnosis has always had a twofold response to it. There's the medical clinical use, and then there's the actual entertainment use, which is in most people's minds, that you're taken out of control of yourself and made whatever. So this is again another form of this sort of observation. Everyday trance is a very useful, quite meaningful thing, because we know what that means, don't we? We know what that means. It means when we just lost concentration, we're still hearing it, but we're not actually registering it really. And so Rossi describes the features of the everyday trance. So the facial features are relaxed, calm, and blank, staring vacantly into space, yawning. That's very common, isn't it? Yawning, they start yawning. Yeah. They're needing to stretch or move around, tummy rumbling, hunger, lower, deeper voice, slower speech, doodling, tuning out, not hearing, sleepiness. Now, many of those features are part of what happens in AT practice, or the things that we
Yeah,
notice, aren't they?
very
Yeah,
much.
yeah, yeah. The doodling one actually amuses me, because I know that in meetings, when we've got to a certain state, I start doodling, and the doodle is always the same. And I sit there with this pencil doodling, and I'm still there, I'm still listening. But I don't know where it comes from. It just happens. It just happens.
But can I add there, my sister is an artist and she used to be punished for doodling in her rough book. and her rough book was taken away from her. She was never allowed to do drawings in her rough book, and her standard of work completely decreased. She knew, even as a young child, that if she wasn't doing something creative with her pen, everything else didn't exist. But she knew it actually helped her. And she, you know, she talks about it to this day as how angry she was. And quite right too, we now know, of course, but in those days it was considered you're not paying attention. But of course, she was on a different level in her style. And so I think doodling, I'm such an admirer of people who can doodle, because I loved her rough books. They were full of the most wonderful drawings. So
mine are extraordinary, but was that Liz?
It's Liz, yes.
It was Liz, yes, who is a brilliant artist.
But she knew, it was just the thing that impresses me now is how she knew as a very young child that she needed to draw. She just needed to. And she was in a real distress when they took it away and punished her for it. Yeah.
So doodling, yes. Okay. So having made these observations and realised that this was someone who went into a state where hypnosis for Rossi and for Erickson, where the hypnotherapy was easily, or the trance was easily induced and led to a good therapeutic session. He then looked at this a bit more and described the Ultradian healing response and the Ultradian stress syndrome in his book, The 20-Minute Break. So he sort of actually made this more widely known. So he writes, have you ever found yourself feeling overwhelmingly fatigued in the middle of the day? Yes, and at other times. It's not just the middle of the day now.
Here.
Spaced out or daydreaming during meeting or conversation, yes. Making inexplicable errors over simple matters, probably. Suddenly unable to remember a familiar fact, name or word, well, increasingly.
Yeah.
Missing obvious social clues and saying the wrong things. Well, perhaps. On the edge of anger, depression or tears without knowing why. Does anybody want to sort of comment on those about what they might sort of, have you ever found yourself?
I found myself on the majority of the ones you just read out. Definitely.
Me too.
Yes. And the other ones, I'm not sure if I'm just not prepared to accept it or not. Maybe one or two I'm thinking, oh, I'm not sure about that one. But all the rest are very definite yeses.
Mm, yeah. Anybody else?
Same here.
Yeah.
That's why I'm always in the middle of the day. For years and years and years, I just take 5 minutes out and do AT.
Yeah.
And I can cope with clients because I've got to be really vigilant in my work. And if I just take the 5 minutes out, I'm much better. Much better. Otherwise, I become very doughy, like really, yeah, not good. So I absolutely know.
Yeah,
I go down about midday. And about four, and it goes with my blood sugar as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, that the metabolic things are going all the time anyway, and we ignore them at our peril. Donna, you were going to say something?
Yes, no, I've come across all of that as well. And if I don't stop and do something, it just gets worse and worse and worse. Mm. So I take time out, like Pia was saying, just to do a bit of AT or just to stop.
Mm.
And I don't know, have I frozen or has Anne frozen?
No, you haven't frozen. Anne has, I think.
Oh.
Yeah. I hope she'll turn off her video maybe and come back to us audio. Oh, what a shame.
Well, we're lucky it's the first time today. So
yes,
good.
We've done well, haven't we? Yes.
I don't know what happened to me this morning because I got in first thing and then I lost everything. Yeah. Yeah, just get back.
Uh-oh, she's gone.
Mm. Well, hopefully she's going to try and rejoin.
Has anyone got that book, The 20 Minutes?
I have the tweet, yes.
Okay. Is it a good book?
It's a very long time since I read it. And I think here it is. It's quite a small book. I'll trade in rhythms. So okay. I picked this up secondhand. I've no idea if it's still available, but I'm sure Amazon might well have a copy. I mean, the whole concept is so clever and everything else. But given that I've got AT, all I was aware of how well it fits with what we do. It's extraordinary. It's as though Schultz and Rossi knew each other. And of course, they didn't, but they've come at things from a different angles.
Mm.
So here's Anne. Hello, Anne.
Carry on without me. I'm just rebooting my internet connection.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Anne. Well, we'll hope you can join us soon. We will carry on.
Yes, you've got the stuff in front of you, haven't you?
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
Yes, so carry on.
All right, then.
Okay, I'll join back. Okay.
Okay, bye for now. See you soon. Anne is rebooting. Oops.
I hope it works because it took me several times before it worked. Yeah.
We will hope it works. Now, what she has said to me is, you've got the stuff in front of you, you carry on. Now, sadly, I haven't got the stuff in front of me because I didn't print it off. I thought I had. So I might need a moment or two if you carry on talking.
I can read it out if you like.
Oh, why not? Yes.
Because I've got it in front of me. The next things that have you ever found yourself were, on the other hand, have you known times when you were feeling particularly well and in harmony with the universe, setting personal best records effortlessly, relating very well to family and friends, usually rested and energized after a short nap, able to deal with problems you had been stuck on, coming up with creative solutions to problems? That was the next batch.
Those are the list, isn't it? Fascinating. Almost not quite the polar opposites, I don't suppose, for what the other list was. But I could certainly put my hand up for that. How about you?
Yeah. And it's very much the what I find for the results of AT.
I quite agree. Yes. Yes. Or I'm now questioning myself. I think it's the result of AT, but actually it might simply be, oh, look, this is a better day. My rhythms are obviously more in tune with each other or whatever. So, hey, well, we will never know, will we, really?
No, I've definitely learned the art of, you know, if you try to do something one day and it just doesn't happen and you can keep jogging a dead horse and then you stop and you do it another day and it just flows. I've definitely sort of learned that maybe not today. I won't do that today. I'll do something else.
Yes.
I think it's really important to consider these cycles. Do you know? Because I noticed when I'm not sleeping well, I cannot concentrate.
Yeah.
I find it hard to do things. And when I'm sleeping well, despite having a busy day, you know, I do find a solution. I am very effective in what I do. So I think, yeah.
It's feeling to me like it's awareness. And lovely. Yeah. Are we back? That's brilliant.
I think the thing with me is that if I don't put us on full screen and I have it on a smaller demand, because I thought I'd try it on full screen, which lasted me till we had the break, and then it didn't. So I've kept it. That doesn't make any difference, actually, where I can see everybody and it's still the same. So I've got it on small screen now and make do with that.
Okay.
I think you've probably got to the bit where you're discussing everything, are you?
Well, we've just discussed the opposite. Where you left us was when we were on those sort of negative cycle, and we've just gone through the list of the positive. So
okay. So anyway, the Rossi produced the as you know now, Rossi produced the Ultradian healing response, which was the 90 minute and 20 minute break. I call this the Kit Kat lecture. But that might not mean anything to Sebastian or to Pierre about the Kit Kat moment, but you know, it was always have a Kit Kat, have a break, have a Kit Kat.
That was the advert.
So this is the Kit Kat, this is the Kit Kat time.
Genius marketing, that wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Can we call it the Kit Kat principle?
Yes,
would that work?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
The Kit Kat principle. I mean, let's face it. I mean, having a break used to be something like, you know, going and having from the factory, going have a cup of tea and a fag, and that was it. It was anything. It was stopping what you were doing where you were concentrating, but we don't do that really, do we much? So the fact that you're teaching someone a method which is always with them, they can do it absolutely anytime. It's a really good platform on which to encourage the implementation of the Ultradian healing response. And all the metabolic, because I was thinking, we've got in quotes here, the rest activity cycle encompasses many areas of self-optimization, which is really self-optimization, which is, and we go back to that human activity graph, you know, the human activity cycle, the graph where you go up on the graph until you reach a point where you can't go on any longer, and if you do go on any longer, you start to fall off and you end up in big trouble. So this is very much in line with the human function curve. It's a great tune for time management and productivity, and offers a foray into hypnosis and altered states of consciousness. In responding to the Ultradian signals and taking a break, you're not frittering away your time. That's what we've got stuck with, aren't we? You're just not doing anything, but creating a sense of well-being and ultimately becoming more productive. So those are really good selling points, aren't they? Mm. Really good selling points. So I thought we could have a discussion. I think the first thing I would want to ask everybody, because I know how to bet, is if you don't take any notice of your Ultradian stress signals, which bit of you would you notice was something that was not feeling quite comfortable or was feeling very uncomfortable? Which bit of your metabolism or your body would you feel it first?
I think in my head.
Tension.
Tension, yes.
Tension and the need to move.
Yeah. Where is the tension? Just generally.
So right now I can feel tension throughout my body because I want to be physically active. So I find sitting all day on Zoom quite hard, even though we have the breaks. Mm. Yeah, I notice that I can feel in my body wants to move more. That's certainly one thing I notice.
And if you were watching a film or television, would you have the same response in the same time?
No, I think that there's times when I can sit for longer and my mind is absorbed in something and I'm in the relaxation response, whereas this feels like active concentration.
Yeah. Here, do you have a place where you can feel the tension mostly?
I'm absent-minded. I'm not so switched on.
Yeah. That's the self-protection. It's a self-protection, isn't it? You switch off. It's a self-protection effect, isn't it? Sebastian, do you have a...
I'm trying to think. Could you repeat the question? What yeah. kind of tension?
Yes, if you were going beyond your, if you were developing the Altradian stress syndrome, would you be feeling it somewhere?
Of course, yeah. You've got like cramps, you know, tension in your muscles, you know, mouth dry, pressure. I think the blood pressure might go up also. For example, if I don't sleep well, and sometimes I don't, I do feel tension, muscles. I don't know. Sometimes I may be shaky a bit. I think there are all sorts of reactions.
So if you get those, Sebastian, what do you do?
I need to rest.
And how do you rest?
When I'm at home, at work, I cannot. No, maybe take a break, but sometimes it doesn't help.
Yeah, but what do you do? What do you do in the break?
Lie down.
You lie down.
No, I mean, at work cannot happen at all. So normally I have a coffee just to keep me going. But happens sometimes to be so, you know, so under the strain, and you know, you don't have the option to lie down. But what helped in the past to have a little nap, and then everything was reset. Even a 20 minutes, half an hour nap in the afternoon helped in the past.
Yeah, it's interesting you use the words, I had a cup of coffee to keep me going. So we take things to keep us going, which is ignoring the need to have a rest in whatever way you want to rest. I did that to keep me going.
Unfortunately, yes.
That's where you know, things start to become troubled by, you know, metabolically troubled. What else? Anybody else?
Yes.
Yeah.
I find myself feeling tension in the area of my solar plexus. And if I ignore it, it just gets worse. Because my first reaction used to be always, oh, I shouldn't be feeling like this, and get on with it and, you know, carry on. And now I realize that I do need to do something about it, because it's not going to get better. And if, for instance, the weather's okay, because I live centrally, but I've got lots of parks and things around me, go for a walk around, you know, see some trees or something like that, and come back. And I'm a different person when I do that. When I sort of escape I think I start feeling trapped when things are stressing me. And so if I get out, get some fresh air, not for a long time, but that seems to work for me and ease this tension that I feel.
And that's fine when we've got the opportunity. And of course, Sebastian's talking about being at work. And
yeah,
to go for a walk. So we're all different, aren't we? In our different circumstances.
Well, my life's different, obviously.
And yes, obviously.
Full time or anything, yeah.
And I think with this, this is important stuff, really, because it's actually supporting what we know. I think if you're teaching a student, if you've got a client, that this can be an important part of the training, is that you're training in someone to take this break, which is doing their AT practice, and they can do it anywhere. And it's got a lot of selling points in this particular topic, does autogenic training. It really does. And you can say, you know, it's a power rest. If people are unhappy about doing nothing and wasting time, and say, well, doing some AT is a power rest. You're not wasting time just resting. You're actually doing a power rest. It's doing you a power of good.
I love that. We also used to say, invest in rest.
So these words are acceptable to the people who work so hard they can't give themselves that time and go on. I know My thing is to get actual muscle pain, particularly back pain, and you know, just go on doing whatever I was doing. It just get worse. But that's so we have this. So what so what sort of ultradian breaks do you take? Have we looked at that? I've asked you what symptoms you might find. So what sort of ultradian breaks do you take?
Ben? Cup of tea.
Cup of tea, yeah.
I do notice blood sugar drops, definitely.
And how does that make you feel? How do you know? How does that make you feel?
Hangry. If I leave it
angry
with the H at the beginning of it, irritable, yeah. If I leave it too long, yeah, I definitely get grumpy. Yeah. But physiologically, tummy rumbles, that will be one.
So what do you do?
What do? I will try and eat something as soon as I can, whilst also holding in mind the curiosity about intermittent fasting, you know, and actually, so there's eating to fuel the body, but there's also overeating and actually not giving the body time to rest because it's always digesting. And I'm curious about what you have to say about that.
About digesting, about fasting, intermittent.
Yeah, it might be going off topic, so we can park that. It doesn't need to be brought in. But yeah, just as I was exploring with you about kind of hunger and eating, there's also a sense that, you know, is it important always to respond to every bodily urge to eat food? Or is it sometimes also healthy to hold fire? And, you know, some people have fasting windows. You know, they stop dinner at, say, 6 o'clock in the evening and don't eat again till maybe 10 or 11 o'clock the next day, in the view that it gives the digestive system a rest and allows other recuperative processes to happen. And I've never posed that to anyone medically, and I've just brought that in now.
Okay, well, I'm not sure whether I'm going to respond to that medically, but to me, and what we were always brought up with, is you don't eat a lot of food late at night. And if people do, then they are actually having to digest it. And I think the natural circadian rhythm is that you don't eat perhaps after, what, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, something like that, and not until the next morning, which is natural circadian fasting.
Yeah.
If you eat late and during the night, and then you are indeed doing that. I mean, I think it's sort of common sense, isn't it, really? And of course, we all have family habits that we've grown up with, and there's a lot of snacking. If I think, go back to childhood, I think we had breakfast, lunch, we had called it dinner, high tea. And I don't think we might have had a cup of cocoa or something like that, nothing till next morning. And I find now I can't digest anything later than about 6 o'clock. So that's me. I mean, I just think that's, without thinking about it, a natural part of that. So I don't know what you think about it. It's not medical. I think that's just sort of... common sense sort of approach. What does anybody else think? I mean, I know at the moment we've got this thing about 5 days on, 2 days off, which is fasting, which is, you know, you choose to do that. But the circadian rhythm, and Bev's question about fasting during that, seems to me that eating during the day and evening, we're not eating at night. And whatever you say, what is the night? What? Something till 6 o'clock? 8 o'clock. I don't know, but it seems to me that that is, in terms of animal behaviour, that would be a natural thing, wouldn't it? Not to eat late, and not to eat anything during the night, to allow the digestion to actually deal with whatever you've done it during the day. That just seems to me a part of the natural circadian rhythm. I don't know, what does anybody else think?
What I would like to emphasize, it seems that, you know, hospital staff, some of them I used to do in the past nights, so definitely your rhythm is completely disturbed. So I don't eat at night, I eat daytime, or sometimes you eat at night because, you know, you're awake. So I think it's turning everything upside down when you do nights on a regular basis.
Oh, well, we know that. We know that. Do you do night shifts?
I used to. No, not anymore. Last time it was about 5 years ago, but no more.
Well, I think we know about the consequences of night shifts, and I don't think that I don't know enough about it, but I know enough about it to know that perhaps it's just completely upside down, and it can't be very good for your health.
No. I ended up sleeping 1 hour a day.
Yeah, no, that's nonsense. But I'm just wondering if there's two things going on here, and I would suggest to Bev that your cognitive brain is thinking about the advice about intermittent fasting, and maybe this moment is a good moment to be putting that into action and not eat. And then there's another side of my brain which is saying, but if this is a circadian cycle, it's natural, and it really does want the response of eating something. So that's my take on it, which is actually no help whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, it just came to me curiously.
Yeah.
Usually if I get, you know, my body tells me it's time to eat, then I, you know, respond with a healthy snack, or it's time for lunch or something. Yeah. But, you know, if I'm walking in the hills, for example, here in the Lake District, then we're burning a lot of calories. And that's where I notice. In fact, probably my husband notices it first. He'll say, you need a sugar snack.
You need some Kendall mint cake.
Yes.
We all know Kendall mint cake.
Yeah.
So we're no longer going to say I'm hungry. We're going to say I'm feeling snappy and angry.
Right? Yeah.
There is so much talked about diet and eating now. Some of it good, and some of it really not good at all. Mm. I think we're so used to discussing what we eat and what we don't eat to ad infinitum and never quite get around. Do you remember how Claire talked about that? So anyway, where have we got to? What are Altradian rights? How does your AT practice fit into that? Let's say, where are we now? Time 21. So what effect of an AT Altradian break what effect does it have on you? So if you take the Altradian break, what can you say the effect has been on you? I feel, if I take an Altradian break, I feel released. That's the word that comes to mind. I'm released from whatever I was holding on to.
I'm going to say refreshed. Sorry.
Yeah. The word that came to my mind. Sorry, Patricia.
No, I'd agree with it, because when I said, you know, if possible, I go out for a short walk, it's because I'm feeling trapped. So yes, I'm sort of releasing myself for a short period, and that has an effect on me. Yeah, I feel, I've escaped my prison, if you like, for a short time.
That reminds me a bit. Do you remember the R words that I produced?
I'm so sorry. I'm just going to come back to Bev, because she was speaking just earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just to agree with an R word. Mine was reset.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, yeah. R words. So I
put that in the R words.
Have you given them the list of R words, Jane?
No. Do you know, I couldn't find it anywhere. I think I've asked you, but I think you've got about 25 of them, haven't
you? It's such fun. Yes. It's all about release, repair, renew, rejoin. I'll send it to Jane and you can send it
and
out.
I will circulate it, absolutely, yes.
Yeah,
please do. And I always want to put in there regenerate, which isn't quite true, and rejuvenate, which certainly isn't true. So... so we have to leave those ones out, but I can't think of the others. Anyway, yeah.
So maybe... I think, shall we, it's nearly half past, another few minutes. How would you promote the 20-minute break in the working day? So how are you going to do that to your clients? Does it need to be 20 minutes?
No.
I think if you get over the principle of the rest activity, they can explore. But actually, promoting the 20-minute break for each individual. So how would you do that with someone who? So let's take an example: someone who is working very hard, often works in an office. Da di da di da di da. So how would you promote that? Pia, do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, I do it myself. I have the rule that I do it when I go to the toilet.
Right.
So no one disturbs me. Nope. No one knocks on the door. And it's my private space.
That's one of the things about being creative. Creative about how we can do things. Yeah.
And that's what I would say when I sorry.
I'm going to say I quite agree with you, Pia. That's my first thing. You know, where can we go when we're at work where we could do a quick short stitch? Oh, the loo. Of course we can. I wait for my clients to suggest it. It's lovely when they come up and say, do you know what? I did an exercise in the loo. And it's much better when it comes from them than because I've told them or suggested it to them. They've discovered it for themselves and they think it's brilliant, which is quite true. It is brilliant.
But when you have one single toilet and everyone knocks and, you know, try to force the door, I don't think it's comfortable. I tried doing, you know, the 80 while on the toilet, and believe me, it didn't work because, you know, there are other people wanted to use the toilet.
Yes, that's a shame, that, isn't it? It should be a private toilet for you. I quite understand, Sebastian.
It's only one, unfortunately.
And I suggest, though, I would say if you were my client right now, and that's what you had said, I would say, so how far did you get into the autogenic exercise? And you might say, oh, I got as far as arms and legs are heavy and warm or something like that. And then I'll say, well, then you did 80 there. It just didn't last very long. Close and come out of it, you did some. So we can encourage, can't we, with whatever somebody is doing.
I think we can still find options and be creative. Like, for example, summertime, I can go out, which I do sometimes. You know, you sit on a bench and you can practice. It's quiet. No one is disturbing you just for 15 minutes.
But I am also saying that right arm heavy is an autogenic exercise. So if we can help our clients to realize it only takes 10 seconds to sit there and do a little tiny, tiny bit, we can close and come out because somebody is banging on the door. But we have done a little tiny autogenic exercise. I'm quite keen on encouraging minimal.
So that means only for a very... That means, let's say, 3 seconds, four seconds.
Because somebody was banging on the door, so you didn't have the chance. Okay, so there, never mind. I did a little bit, that's fine. It's a very useful mindset that we can... Sorry, Anne, this is your session, not mine.
No. What? Sometimes I think, apart from the going to the loo and you say, well, that's how it is, you know, that's what I've got, better than nothing, and short stitch and all the rest of it. But another thing is, supposing you're working in an office with people, if you actually just sat there and did an exercise, it might actually have a, how can I put it, a sort of like a pebble into a pond, a ripple effect on people You could tell them what you're doing. They could allow you to do it and say, and then become interested. So it could become public. When something is public and not secretive, I think it's healthy. It's easy. If everything has to be a secret, oh, I can't let my husband know I'm doing it because he'll do this, that, and the other. Secrets. So it's, if it's possible, it might not be possible, but it might be possible just to actually give an example of what you're doing. We need to stand up, have a little shake, sit down, and do an exercise, and we'll be much better at our work there. So, you know, there are possibilities to try out.
Yeah,
that's huge. Sorry. Hold on.
That reminds me that when I run groups, and I always do them on Zoom now, I always start with silence because I do my AT because I need to do it before I teach the group. But they just sit there for 2 minutes themselves, and they're getting used to making an activity with a break, and then the activity. So there is a break in. So it's not just one continuous doing of things. And that has been very helpful for a lot of my clients, and said, oh, it's really good because now I just stop between things.
So I think sitting that. Quietly for 2 minutes is a really powerful training. It must be. It would be, you know, and that you're there in your group and that is what you do. But the effect of 2 minutes, usually, I mean, that's quite profound to get that in, that you can sit for 2 minutes.
Yeah. And I just lead it with just allow your body to sink into the chair and just let the chair carry you. And the chair is carried by the floor and the floor is carried by the foundation of the building. So it's so simple and they're so surprised that really it's the start of the heaviness in a way that they get the effect without them knowing it, but they love it. Because they find out how tense they are. They like to sit like this on the chair, but they didn't realize it. So that has been very good. So that's I've done it for years now and it works. It's really good.
I'm so impressed by that. It's lovely. And of course it ties in with us doing last week's exercise when the person has arrived for their session, doesn't it? That's exactly what we're doing. Lovely.
Do you think we should bring this to a close? Have anybody want to say anything else about this? So this Ross's work, the circadian, and the rhythms and the basic receptivity and the 20-minute break, all are part of what we do, and are to do with health and healing and self-help and all the rest of it. Well, you don't need to go on. So I think, so we call it the end, and you can have lunch.
We can have
lunch. Is that all right?
That sounds...
Or are you going to do something more before lunch?
No. I think we're going to welcome you back a bit later on, aren't we? To talk about preparing for the essay. Are you able to do that? If not today, it doesn't matter.
Have we got that down on there?
It is on the timetable, the most recent timetable I sent out. Gave you 15 minutes, Anne. It might take longer than that. Sorry, I can't find my timetable now. Where is it?
15 minutes, yeah. 2:30 till 2:45.
Right, thank you.
Okay.
But we can be flexible with that if that doesn't.
Yeah, do you want to come back?
You wanted to come straight away.
I don't mind actually. What you put it down? Let's leave it a la timetable. What is it?
2:30.
Okay, that's okay. So that gives you plenty of time for. So I'll come back at 2:30.
You come back at 2:30. We'll be back at 1:30, doing something else. So that's fine. You have a good break, Anne.
Okay.
Rejoin us whenever you like. But
yeah. Okay. I'll see you later.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
and thank you so much.
That's okay. Been lovely. Really, see you really later. Lovely.
Thank you
very much.
Okay. Bye. See you later.
Bye-bye.